Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we are kind of in the midst of our series on how to. And our last episode, we talked about how to make multiple offers and really how to make your offers stand out. So on that episode, we went over, I think, some short-term financing, meaning, you know, if you're going to flip the property, offering the seller to carry financing for, you know, six months, 8 months, a year. And then we went over a slightly longer term, kind of a midterm offer of a 3-year and kind of what the seller would net. We used an example of a house worth right around, asking price was right around $350. That last offer, 3-year offer was like $358. So if you guys haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that, because on this episode, we're now talking about making a longer term offer. And then in the episodes to come, we'll talk about subordination and then what to do if there's debt on a property. So let's get into that, Jeff. So we talked a lot about kind of mindset on the last couple episodes and how you think about it in terms of exit strategy. Of course, you got to know what you want to do with the property up front, whether you're going to wholesale it, how do you make money doing that, if you're going to flip it yourself, or if you're going to sell it to a landlord. So when you, Jeff, think about, okay, I can make my short-term offer, you know, my cash offer, short-term offer, and then, you know, a kind of a midterm offer, like a 3-year, going to the 5-year, how do you, you know, what do you think about? How do you increase down payment or decrease down payment and increase interest rate, decrease interest rate, et cetera?
So I don't know. I don't always go in based on a 3-year or 5-year. To me, that's my default. And so if we haven't been able to gather the specifics from the seller, then that's kind of my default. And the way I think about it is that I think a lot of people would be open to financing if they don't do it for that long, right? So if they say, hey, you know, I'd be open to it, but you know, I don't really want to tie up my property for, you know, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years or more. But they might be open to doing it for 3, 4, maybe even as much as 5 years. And so that's more of my default. Now, if you remember, one of the goals for sure is to try to go deeper with our conversation with the seller. And when we find out the seller is open to taking payments for their equity, now we're going to follow up with the amount of money down and the possible length of term that they would be open to. And it might be as simple of a question as, you know, how long would you like to continue to make money on your property? And something to that effect. So if I don't have that information, then I kind of default to that 3 to 5 years. And 3 years is basically my minimum, unless we're doing some very specialized, you know, there's a reason why, like our short-term finance, you know, we're going to be in and out of this deal. That's why I'm okay with it being, you know, 6 months or 8 months or a year. If it's more of like a BRRRR strategy or, you know, some kind of, we're going to build the value and then we want to refinance, you know, I probably want to go a year because that's a lot of lender seasoning requirements. And so what the goal here would be is I'm either selling to another investor as a buy and hold individual, or I'm selling to an owner occupant. And if I'm doing that, either way, I want to give them some time that principal can get paid down. So at the end of the term, that it's more of an easy refinance, either as a landlord investor where they're going to have at least, 20% equity, or make it easier for the buyer to have a track record, fix any kind of credit issues that they may have, overcome that and be able to get new financing.
Yeah. So you really, like we talked about on our last episode, you really think about, like, when your offer changes, when you're making a longer term offer, you're probably thinking more of, okay, now I'm going to sell it to an owner occupant or a landlord if you're not holding it yourself. So it's kind of like a different, your offers are kind of tailored to, the exit strategy, if you would.
They yeah. certainly can be. In some cases, 3 year works for me, 5 years can work for me. And they may not work in the same way, right? So they may be structured to work different exit strategies, or they may be the same exit strategy and either one would work. And that really the key to me is, if we're doing so we already have our option one, which is typically my 3 year, my shortest term, and in a lot of cases, my highest price. And the reason for it is that hybrid interest rate that allows me to get rapid principal pay down. So that's why I can offer, to me, that makes the most sense to most people, right? Where I can get the highest price for the shortest period of time. And that's what I think attracts a lot of people to it. However, what my real goal is for my second option, when I'm asking someone to carry longer term, is they need to make a significant amount more money than they are in the first option. Otherwise, there's really no reason to do it.
Yeah.
You probably need to give them more money up front as a down payment. And they need to make more money, significant amount more, to incentivize them to stay in it longer, right? Unless they've got some kind of issue like, hey, I've got a big tax consequence coming up and the longer I can spread this out, the better. Or, they like the cash flow and, they'd rather just continue to get the cash flow. But without really those two issues or without those two things that would motivate the seller, most likely they want their money sooner rather than later. So we've got to figure out ways to entice them to go longer.
Yeah, you really got to incentivize them. You got to give them a reason for it to be worth it for them.
Yeah. So let's go back to this example, right? The same one that we've used throughout. And so when we made our previous offer, the seller was asking 350, we offered above 350, right? We offered 358. We were giving them a $1,500 a month payment, 2.5% for 3 years. And it paid down by about $30,000 during those 3 years. And the seller netted $382,513.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what I try to do with this, and I do this probably a little backwards, and for all of our listeners, you don't need to do it the same way that I do it. Now, that's kind of the cool part of creative financing, is you find out what kind of works for you, and you can base it on that. But typically, my second offer is less than my first one. And that's kind of kind of counterintuitive to what you would think, because normally when you're asking for a longer term, you're willing to pay more money. And you certainly could. typically what I like to do is that I already know my first option is probably going to be accepted out of all these options. At least 50% of the time, all the rest of the options will make up 50%. So I already know that. So I'm going to focus on that. Now, does that mean that no one ever takes the longer term? No, of course they do. But we got to make it worthwhile. So what I typically do is I'm going to come in. If I offered more than the first offer, I'm going to offer a little less. It's not going to be a lot less, but, you know, 10 grand, 15 grand, 8 grand, something like that. And really, I'm going to figure it out based on the payment, right? So yeah. we've always talked, you know, if this is any kind of income property, we like to work backwards, right? And know exactly what's the maximum payment we're able to offer the seller, leaving, you know, cash flow either for us or our buyer, taking out all the expenses. And I do something similar even when I'm looking at doing it with an owner occupant, is that, hey, I have a range, right, of what I believe that they will pay. And based on what we gathered from the seller, I might be looking at keeping that payment lower so I can stay in the middle and create that passive income, or I might not be able to take that passive income, in which case really all I'm looking to do is wholesale this and make a fee on top. So I'm already identifying what is that possible exit for me, just so that now I know what I can offer. Okay. So in this case, I offered $350,000. So what they're asking, I upped the down payment by $5,000. So we're at $22,000 now. It's a little more than 5%. We were at about 5% on the first one, 5% down payment. Okay. And then I offered 4% interest. And I vary this, right? It may range from 3.5 to maybe even as much as 4.5. But it's really based more on the payment than anything else, right? So, right. So we came up with a payment of $1,565. So that's $65 more a month than the first option. Sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. When it does, and it still fits in my parameters, it's perfect, because the goal here is, remember, I don't even want to make this offer unless I can really give a reason for the seller to really think about doing this longer term offer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're offering a little more down payment. So could that be a reason why they would look at taking this? Hey, I need a little more money up front.
Yeah.
Their purchase price is still what they're asking. So it's not like they can complain too much about that. And is it possible that they could say, hey, I need a little more money each month? They could. And on very small amount of occasions, there'll be sellers that say, wait a minute, 2.5% interest is not good enough for me. You know, I want 5 or 4. I would tell you it comes up probably less than 2% of the time, 1% of the time. We don't need to talk interest a whole lot, and we don't. So, what I did is I made this a 5-year term. So it's clear to me, I did not have any additional information on what's going on with this seller and what he would be open to. So I just defaulted back to a 3-year, 5-year, 3-year, 6-year, something to that effect. And really all I want to do is give this person enough options that he chooses one, right? That it would make sense for him to take one. And I'm prepared that I don't care which one that he takes. I might have a small preference, but I feel like I can make money. I can monetize whatever offer he takes.
Right.
Okay. So,
really what you're saying is to, you know, if you're going to incentivize them, ways to do that, you can always offer a higher purchase price. You can offer more of a down payment, which you did in this case. And then you can offer a higher interest rate over time, which you did in this example as well. And then really what you want to do is show the seller what they're going to net or gross at the end of that term. Because, you know, that's how they see that, hey, if I go with this option, I can actually make more money doing this.
Yeah. That's right. There's got to be a reason, right? That the down payment, the monthly payment, the net. That maybe the purchase price. Otherwise, why would I stay in it for 5 years when I could be out of it in 3 years, right? Everyone will choose shorter unless they've got some kind of issue that they're trying to resolve by staying in it. So here are the numbers that you need to know on this. So the amount of money that at the time of the balloon, so after 5 years, would be $296,667. Okay, so I want this number to always, always, always be less than the same balloon payment on option one. Doesn't it make sense? If I'm going 5 years, I would like the balance to be less owed than if we were going 3 years.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we can pretty much eliminate one of these two options based on. So I always want that to be less. So if we compare the two, this one's $296,667 compared to $311,513. So it's not a tremendous difference, but it is less, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the last thing that we really want to look at is, all right, so we said that the seller will net $382,513. So what will the seller net here? It will be $412,567. So about $30,000 more to stay in it for two more years. So it's not a tremendous difference. And to be honest, if I was redoing this, I'd probably up the price a bit, or maybe like $5,000. Just because it would probably add another 6,000, 7,000 to it. But if I wanted the seller to take this longer term, I want that number to be bigger, right? Even more than $30,000, it's basically $15,000 per year to stay in it. Which would be, basically like getting $1,250 a month more. Well, our payments are $1,500, so he's not even it's not playing out maybe exactly the way that we want, but it is still more money. And I would tell you, a lot of people will just look at what's the bottom line, what are they going to net? And so if I came in at $11,000 more for two extra years, why would you do that?
Right. Yeah.
There's no reason to. So when you're trying to make multiple offers, you've got to make them, at least in my opinion, I like to start with my first option, which is typically, shorter term hybrid interest rate. Is it possible that I could offer on one of these two options, hey, I'll give you $400,000 for this property, principal only?
Yep.
I could. And I have before. So you, all our listeners have to start to figure out, one, when you're structuring this, do you want to have set types of parameters that you just make over and over again? Makes it easy to get offers out, right? So hey, I've got a 3 year, I got a 5 year, I got a 10 year. I might have principal only, I might have interest only, or I might have, some kind of combination thereof. I offer this a certain percentage of the ARV for a shorter term. I offer even a smaller percentage or a higher percentage of ARV for the longer term. Here are your what you would net if the property is free and clear. Or do I want to have the flexibility to structure offers based on the seller's situation, seller needs and wants, and somewhat to some degree, my needs and wants or my buyer's needs and wants? That's always going to be the question, and everyone will choose their own business model, how they want to structure it.
Right. And I think there's so many variables, right, to creating terms and so many variables to each deal individually. And so really, I think you did a great job here, Jeff, illustrating the point that you need to offer the seller incentive by giving them either more down payment, higher purchase price, or interest over a longer period of time, and really show them what they're going to make. So I think that's the key points here to making long-term offers and really making that offer stand out above your midterm financing offer or your short-term financing offer. And we always talk about payment. Once again, as long as that payment works for you and works for your end buyer or your owner occupant, that's really what you're going for. Because I mean, you can offer this guy $500,000 principal only payments, $1,500 a month, right?
Right.
So sky's the limit, especially when the property is free and clear, like we're talking about in this example. But I think those are the key points. And so I just wanted to summarize that. And I think we'll just wrap this one up right here. Yep. And then we'll talk about, in our next episode, we'll talk about seller subordination and how that really stands out from your short-term, midterm, and long-term offers. Okay, guys. Well, hope you're enjoying this series, the how-tos. Hope it kind of solidifies some more things in your mind. I know it does for me, because I always, like for you, Jeff, I always like to say, okay, what is your thought process behind this? How do you think, when you're trying to give that incentive to the seller, how do you do that and in what ways? So that's kind of, I always learn something from this, and I hope our audience does too. Guys, if you love this content, please go out and rate and review our show wherever you get your podcasts. If you really love our content, we would greatly appreciate a 5-star review. So please do that. It helps us get out the word. If you're not already on our Facebook group, please get on there, the Creative Financing Podcast Facebook group. We're continuing to build that community, and we're there to help each other out. So join that. If you guys have not got special access to our video on how to create offers just like this, step by step, that Jeff put together on a single family home that takes you all the way from creation through the exit strategy and how he made money on that deal, do that by texting Creative Financing or CFP to 877-409-8090. And if you guys are interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, please email Rebecca for more information on that. And that her email is rebecca@weofferoptions.com. And if you guys are interested in our Creative Financing Academy, you can hit us up on our hotline, or you can get a hold of us directly through the Facebook group. You can just DM us or that. So that was quite a mouthful. Any last words, Jeff?
The only thing I would say is that certainly join the Facebook group. We want to build that, where we want to answer your questions. Plus, great. Well, hopefully we get some really good ideas for upcoming episodes. I think we would like to start getting some of our listeners on the show, we can help them directly or, you know, through the Facebook group. And that it is a no-brainer. Get the free video. It will take you to a whole nother level with the visual and from start to finish. And it's free.
Yep. Okay, guys, until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.